multifamily mindset
podcast.
Think bigger.
Woo! All right, welcome to this episode of the Multifamily Mindset Podcast. I feel like I sound giddy because I am. I'm very excited to be here. We're here joined with Hawakale. Strat and I were able to fly over from Maui to meet with Hawakale. Thank you so much for having us.
Dude, thank you guys. What the hell?
We are so excited to be here and to talk to you and talk a little bit about your story. But honestly, before we dive in, I just want to express my gratitude. For real. This is the first guest that we're doing in this new format. So to be able to sit down with and talk with you is it's an honor of mine. So thank you for taking the time and the hospitality since we got here. Has been, you met us at the front door, you walked us in. We've got this a beautiful studio to be able to record in because of you. So thank you. I just really wanted to express my gratitude and jumping on with us. Before we start, Hawakale, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us where you're from. Tell us where you live. Tell us a little bit about your family, and then tell us when you joined the multifamily mindset. Just quick introduction of who you are, and then maybe how the multifamily mindset's helped you.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it. No, but for real, my name is Amnesty Ann Hawakale Dawson Sasaoka. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know it was. But yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and so I'm from Kailua, Hawaii. My family's born and raised here in Hawaii. I'm the fairest of my family, but we are all Native Hawaiian. We're all Kanaka. And how I got into all of this, what I do today, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and I'm a business owner. And I got into real estate, but my real passion is helping other people build their brands because of the calling that we all have. And we'll go further into that later on.
Yeah, we will for
but
sure.
Definitely amplifying people's message. So my first company was called Aloha Amplified.
Okay.
And it was sent to me from God, and that's what I continue to do in everything that we do. That's kind of how we started. And
before you answer the multifamily mindset question, I love that. Explain Aloha Amplified. Why did you decide to go that name?
Thanks for asking that. So our family historically has been going around the world sharing the message of Aloha. So my great-grandma, my grandma, and I don't know if it was my great-grandma, but I know for sure
generations
of Aloha. So they would travel the world. My grandma is a kumuhula, which is a hula teacher, and my great-grandma was the same thing, and they would go teach at like universities or Japan, Europe, all around the world.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, who's gonna pass on this? It's called huna. So there's hula and then there's huna. And huna is like the more spiritual practices of what we do as a people. And I was like, who's going to pass it on? And I would pray on it. And I got the message like Aloha Amplified. You need to do something that's going to be called Aloha Amplified. And I asked God, well, what the hell am I going to do?
What does that mean? Yeah.
What can I do? And he's like, these are the things that I gave you. And so one night when I was sleeping, he's like, pick up your camera. Go shoot some photos of these families, turn it into a business, and he laid out the whole plan for me. And ever since then, he's like, you need to teach the malihini or like the tourists that come about the Aloha spirit and just share everybody what the Aloha spirit is. And so I try to practice that as much as I can.
Oh, man, but
that's what it is.
That's amazing. There's not like living here in Hawaii for the past couple of years, you get a good understanding of what Aloha truly is. Mm. And I think I mentioned this with Nico in a conversation I had with Nico, but when I met you at the workshop, I could only feel aloha from you and love from you. So when you say that there's been generations of aloha in your family, I can feel that through you. It's quite incredible. So no, thank you for sharing that. That's obviously very deeply rooted into you and special. And I, like, if anybody can take anything from that, understanding, like having a deep connection with whatever it is that you're doing and why you're doing it, I can assume only helps you continue forward when things get rough.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, of course. So let's kind of dive back in here with the multifamily mindset. When did you join, and how has things been since you joined?
It was December 15th, 2022. I joined.
You remember the date.
I remember the date. Yeah. It was a big day.
It was.
Lots of prayer happened, but it was actually meeting Nico that solidified, okay, I'm going to do this. The reason being is I've always been like a sensitive kind of person. And I was like, oh, I'm not meant for like the hustle and bustle. And when I met her and I met you guys, when I met you and Strat and I met Nico, that was the final feather, you know, that broke the camel's back. Yeah. It's like, if her soul and her spirit can thrive here, my soul and spirit can thrive here too.
Yeah.
And so I think I DM'd her. I don't know if you remember this, Nico, but I was like, you're the reason why I joined.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Like, Tithem, great. MFM's great. The courses are great. Everything's great. But it was the people.
Yeah.
And again, the Aloha spirit that I could feel from you guys.
Wow.
That everybody felt.
That I think is probably the best compliment that I could get for sure. So no, thank you.
That's
so kind. And how has it been since joining? How have those connections been, and what have you kind of gained from that?
I gained 4 awesome friends on my actual direct team. I gained you guys, awesome friends, and tons of knowledge. Honestly, I thought I knew things, and then I realized that I didn't know shit.
Yeah, right. But
that was super humbling. And so doors open, doors closed in many different ways. But the MFM specifically, I learned so much, and now I see the value of real estate from a whole nother lens.
Yeah.
So we did just get GP spot on Eric Chatterton's deals with Gibby's Capital. Love Eric.
Congratulations.
Love Gibby's Capital.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If you want to talk about like a solid guy, super straightforward, very on his game, like, he's the guy.
He is definitely one of those guys.
And he's
guys,
like
for sure.
He's like a Ken doll. He's like perfect. I told him that too, so it's okay to say that. But he's perfect. Like, he's solid, his morals are straight. Like, those are the kinds of people that you want to be around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't want to be around like slackers, half-assing, like, this is the community. Yeah. I feel like.
Yeah.
And then my team, incredible. Kikai, Chris, Kehal, they're my lifelong friends now.
Yeah, that's
awesome. And it wouldn't have happened without this space. Like, we've gone through so many things together.
Yeah.
We've learned, we've overcome things together. And again, it's all with God leading us,
sure.
guiding us.
Yeah.
So it's all to him.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
You just talked about a little bit about that deal you did with Gibby's Capital. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that deal. How many units was it? Where is it? And yeah.
Yeah, it's in Texas.
Okay.
Villas del Zoc. I'm not good at Spanish, but
it's a Spanish name. Okay.
But that was our first deal, and it's 200 plus units.
It's awesome.
Texas, yeah.
That's awesome.
And so that was exciting. It was do you want me to say like the numbers?
Yeah, if you want to share that, feel
okay,
free.
Okay.
No need.
But yeah, to get on the GP spot, we had to raise capital.
Yeah.
And we actually just got our email this morning. We're going to start having our investor relations meetings.
That's awesome.
Coming up.
That's awesome.
So it's exciting.
That is exciting. That is exciting. Congratulations that you jumped into the multifamily mindset to learn things and to acquire real estate. And it sounds like that's what you did, and mission accomplished almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for breaking that down and kind of sharing just like who you are really quick. But before we get started, before we dive in, you were explaining to me how you were doing the interviews yesterday, and now you're in the interviewee seat. So how does that feel before we dive in? How does it feel to be in the interviewee seat this time?
Very honored. Very different.
Yeah.
I like setting up the cameras. Being here, it's, again, I'm very honored. So I'm just doing this because you guys asked me.
Thank you for doing it. When we were, I'm gonna try my best to make the interviewee spot as easy as possible for you. So I'll do my best.
Thanks.
Again, this is my first time, so patience with me as well. Yesterday or the other day when we chatted.
Yeah.
I had a really great conversation. It was quick. You're a mom, you're busy. I was doing stuff, we were busy. But we had a quick conversation, and you broke down for me pretty much your life from high school until now.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of how though the things that have happened in that time have really led you and guided you to help people with a pretty specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that thing, it really blew me away, and I wanted to make sure that was highlighted in today's episode. Do you mind repeating for me? I know we kind of talked about this a little bit before starting too. You say this many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But what is that thing that you feel called to do? Yeah, if you don't mind repeating it.
Yeah. So again, Aloha Amplified was the company, and the message, the mission, the vision that God had given me that night when he was telling me the story was, you need to pull out and ignite and spark the Aloha that lives inside of people, because that Aloha spirit is the Holy Spirit, right? And that's the calling that I'm calling for each individual person. And I need you to help me spark that within them. So in essence, what we're trying to do here and everything that we're doing, even this podcast about what we're doing today, is you're pulling out what's the essence, what's the calling that God has put on to your heart and to your mind, and giving them, equipping them with the right tools. So I do personal branding. I help people do social media, all of that. But personal branding is just personal development on crack, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So
yeah. I like that's, that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but what it is like, where does it come from?
Yeah.
Who is this personal brand that you are? Like, how do you do this personal development thing? There's thousands of different ways.
Yeah.
But what is your one specific calling that God is calling you to do?
Yeah.
And so that's what I try to do when I listen to people. That's why I like being in your seat. Yeah. Is, okay, tell me your story.
Right.
And all you really have to do, all we all have to do to do this, you don't have to be a personal brander or social media manager. Just have conversations with people.
Yeah.
Collaborate with people. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this. Collaboration is the new competition.
Yeah.
If you're competing against people, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the time that God is calling us for community and to uplift one another with each other's callings. So today I brought you guys cupcakes.
Yeah.
And that was from one of my good friends who I'm collaborating with too, Tanil. You have the best cupcakes in the world.
I'm excited to try it. I haven't tried it yet. Yeah. I'm so excited to try it.
But in essence, like the space that we're in, this is from Ashley Wasson, Sounds Better Studios. She's one of my good friends, but this is all collaborative effort.
Yeah.
You know, it's a, my other friend, he says it's a Kako thing. He's the Kuleana investor, but we need one another.
Yeah.
We need one another. And that's the biggest thing that we need to get across is, you all have a calling, but we need one another to make it happen.
Yeah, to pull that out of each
other.
To pull that calling out of each other.
Exactly.
And you feel very called for a specific group of people to help that with. And what do you mind repeating what that group of people is?
Yeah. Yeah, so growing up, I played volleyball my entire life. And now I've become an entrepreneur. So helping young athletes, collegiate athletes, entrepreneurs, small businesses, those are my primary, call it target audience.
Sure.
But people that I want to serve,
yeah,
really, because I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was there 2 years ago, just starting off my business. I was there 5 years ago, finishing college ball, and I was like, what am I going to do next? The identity crisis in college athletes and just athletics in general is a real thing.
Yeah.
So that's why you need to figure out what is God calling you to do.
I love that.
Seriously.
Yeah. No, it's quite incredible. Like talking to you about it again now and talking to you about it earlier, I kind of wanted to dive into that. But it's incredible that it's like you only know that this is your calling and this is what you want to do because you've lived it and you've been through it and you've figured out what that solution was for you as a college athlete to be able to move forward and make an impact in your life and those around you and to find that calling and to follow it. I think probably the best way for people to understand how you were able to do that is to talk more about your story, to kind of dive into your story, and maybe we can figure out how you found that for you.
Mm-hmm.
So others, as they're telling their story, as they're learning their story,
yeah,
maybe they can figure it out for themselves. So college,
yeah,
let's start there. You played, where'd you play volleyball? Tell me a little bit about that.
Let me take you 1 year before college,
or a
few months, actually. I was just talking to my girlfriend about this, and I was trying to map it all out, like, where did this all happen? And I was originally committed to UC Davis.
Okay.
My senior year is June 2014. I just graduated from high school.
Yeah.
Mind you, I went to the, this might be biased, but I went to the best high school in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Iolani School. It's a buttload of money.
Yeah.
So my parents had to fork out a lot of money to get me to where I was. Lots of sports cost a lot of money too.
And for those people that don't know about collegiate volleyball, UC Davis is
D1.
One of the collegiate. Best is one of the best programs, to my understanding as well.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. But I wanted to go there for a specific degree, and God had other plans that I didn't know about. And I didn't turn to him at all.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't strong in my walk at all during that time. But when I found out that my coaches got fired, my scholarship wasn't guaranteed.
Yeah.
So if anybody knows, like, you are on a year-to-year scholarship, they can verbally commit to 4 years, but you only get really 1 year.
Right.
And it wasn't guaranteed. So I had to look for something else.
Yeah.
And at that time, we weren't in the best, like, financial place for me, for my parents to just pay for college, and they didn't want me to take out student loans.
Sure.
So I was like, I worked my ass off for all this time since I was 6 years old. Yeah. And now this is happening. Why? What did I do? Like, I've done everything you told me to do.
Yeah.
Why is this happening? And so I prayed. It was the first time I like got down on my knees and prayed. And I was crying. I was like, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? So my coach calls Lee Lam and he says, Hoakale, we're going to make a setter's tape. Come to the gym, figure out what you want to do. And I was like, how am I going to change the world? And I looked it up and I was like, political science. Let's try that.
Sure.
Policies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If I can't be a biotechnical engineer, I'll do political science.
Sure. And try to help in that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's where the story went. It was just pivot, and lots of surrendering.
Yeah.
Tons of surrendering. And I had no idea how to do that at the time until he forced me to.
Sure.
So once you hit rock bottom, the only way is up, right? Or to just fully go under, but that wasn't an option.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, let's do this. I looked up the school and that I wanted to go to for political science, and it was American University. Didn't tell anybody, just my mom. And the next day, my coach calls and he's like, Hoakale, you got a call from American University.
Wow.
So a lot of those things happen.
Yeah.
So that's why I know there's a God.
Sure.
And that was my first real experience.
Yeah.
When I was at a low point, but it was the surrender piece, to answer your question, long story short. Surrendering and just figuring out, okay, God, you put on my heart that I want to change the world. I don't know how to.
Yeah.
I thought it was this way.
Sure.
It's not that way. What do you want me to do? And just going into the word, like asking him.
Yeah.
You can't turn to anybody else sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't turn to anybody. You should turn to him first. And that's what I've been learning. And I just got humbled and humbled and humbled. And then the blessing came. And so, yeah.
It's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. No, that's amazing. So thank you. So thank you for backing it up. So
yeah.
Didn't end up working out at a college. It ended up working out at a different college. And mm-hmm. You went that direction.
Yeah.
So you started going. So you went to American University, playing volleyball, studying political science. Then what happened there?
Yeah. So I've never been to the East Coast because it's in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Went. Didn't even sign my papers yet. Full on went into school mode, volleyball mode. And I changed my major 5 times. Again, another pivoting thing.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Got my film degree. Became like the libero of the year. We won all our championships. It was a blessing.
It's amazing.
And I was like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
Naturally, you go pro. Or you continue into like masters, right? So I was preparing to go to London.
Okay.
And I was training. August 2018, I flew back up to go train in D.C. with my team. And another thing came. And he's like, no, you need to come back home. And I was pissed.
So you got the calling.
I got the calling to come back home. And I was like, well, why? And this doesn't make any sense. Like, in the spiritual sense of things, like, everything's lined up physically.
Yeah.
Everything, like, you
go. Logically. Everything makes sense for you to keep going down the route you're going. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, no, you need to come home. So I listened, came home, was lost in the sauce, had no idea what to do. So I applied to UH Manoa, was going to play beach volleyball. That fell through
because they didn't have the program that you wanted, right?
Because of the master's program that they had was like third grade.
Oh, geez.
Just
not even close to what you needed.
I needed, not what I wanted. I wanted to still change the world. I was like, how am I going to do this?
Sure. Yeah. So you still are feeling. See, it's so interesting because that calling never left you.
No.
That calling, that feeling never left you. And I believe one of the big things of why it didn't leave you mm-hmm. is because you were listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think a lot of times people do feel called to do something and they don't listen to it. They listen to that logical brain. They listen to the logical path of, oh, I'm going to stick in school. I'm going to go get my master's. I'm going to get a really good job. You know, they stick in that when their heart's telling them to go do something
go
do something else. So I think it's interesting that even at the point where you decided to go to American University, you thought that was, oh, poli sci was going to be the next thing I'm going to study. I got my decision. I got the guidance that I needed. But then you got there and it pivoted again.
Yeah.
And then you had to come home.
Yeah.
And then you, because you felt, and so you followed that, mm-hmm. that, and then you come home and then you have to pivot again. And it's just this constant pivot
mm-hmm.
in accordance to what it is that you are feeling called to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's continue.
Yeah.
So you.
Sorry if this is dragging out.
No, this is okay. This is perfect. This is perfect. So you went to UH, didn't end up working there. They didn't end up having the program that you wanted. Then mm-hmm. what?
Then I did nothing, and I was trying to figure it out. But
you waited
during
a little
that.
Bit.
I waited.
You kind of said, okay. Yeah. So what happened during that period?
That period, I like to just call it the dead period.
Okay.
Because I wasn't doing anything that I felt like I was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm.
I think many people can relate to that time in people's lives, though, when people are just moving because they know they need to move and they know they need to be, you know, I mean, they need to keep that momentum in whatever mm-hmm. direction they're going. So I think a lot of people spend time there. I think a lot of people get stuck there, unfortunately, too. Yeah. So I think that's definitely a common thing. So you kind of work through that,
mm-hmm.
or what kind of, is there anything you wanted to share during that period that impacted?
I think during that period, what I did learn was relationships. I learned how to build relationships.
So good. Yeah.
And I think when I say like dead period, it was the death of me, like the death of my old self.
Yeah. Yeah.
She had to die.
Yeah.
Miserably.
Sure.
And so I was like, all right, okay, she's dead and gone. Now who's going to be reborn?
Yeah.
And I think I know the rebirth happened when I met my husband, actually. I
love that.
So that calling feeling that I had inside, love, I love you, I felt that with him.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, am I like being too clingy?
Sure.
into that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But he was the complete opposite of like any person that I had ever been with. And he just let me be me. And so I was like, oh, okay, this is nice. And so I that's what I'm saying, like the collaboration piece.
Yeah.
You need people.
Yeah.
We need each other. And so when I had him, I was like, okay, I can kind of be anything that I want to be. So what is this that God's calling me to do?
Yeah.
Now I feel like this safety. Now I feel this comfort, mm-hmm. this joy, this peace that I have with him. This is a blessing.
Yeah.
How am I going to, you know, honor him? So that's where it started. And we got pregnant.
Married. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, though. I would just kind of want to highlight that.
Yeah.
That, like, that peace and that confidence and that security that you're saying mm-hmm. that you had when you met your husband and you guys had that connection. What I believe that to be, Hoakalea, is authenticity.
Mm.
I think, like, our spouses and those that are really close to us and that love us, they're always going to pull out the most authentic us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a study that was done recently. There's the vibration study. I'm sure you've heard mm-hmm. of it. The mm-hmm. highest vibration of self is love or gratitude, right?
Yeah.
They just redid the study.
Nice.
In 2019.
Wow.
And this study, they found out that the highest vibration that they could figure out how to test was actually authenticity.
Yes.
So when we're in that authenticity and we're in that what you're talking about mm-hmm. right now that you felt when you were with your husband, we're actually our best selves, mm-hmm. right? So it's easier to tap into that spiritual sense, that what's inside of you to be able to really continue down that route of what you knew was already inside of you mm-hmm. that you wanted to chase. It's so important. So I just wanted to highlight that and how awesome. Yeah. I haven't even met your husband, but I know he's amazing because he can pull that out of you. You know what I mean? And I know that's how it's supposed to be because that authenticity can't be faked. It can't be manipulated. It can't be manufactured, right? It's just something that's just so real and that you feel when you're with those people. So I just wanted to highlight the importance of that, too.
Can I add to that really fast?
Yeah.
When you say authenticity, again, the word surrender comes up.
Absolutely.
Because that authentic self that I didn't know that I had inside of me, he pulled out.
Yeah.
Like the good and the bad, mm-hmm. the angels and the demons mm-hmm. that I had to heal.
Yeah.
And so even to this day, there's still tons of things that come out just with him.
Sure.
And of course, like, that's our spouse, but
yeah.
I don't even realize it. Like, the authentic self is both ends of the spectrum, you know? So we could be vibrating at the highest self, but it doesn't always look pretty.
Sure.
Sometimes she's a little dark.
Yeah. Well, it's because we're not perfect, right? We all have those little,
mm-hmm.
those things that we need to fix. And I think that is one of the beautiful things in life.
Yeah.
So as we talk about this, as we talk about your story and we talk about how you came to conclusion of finding that what your why is, I think it's so important that we notate that and we recognize that as your spouses and whoever the people that you have around you, they should be pulling out that authenticity. They should be pulling out that real you.
Yeah.
And like you said, both sides,
mm-hmm.
the good side and the bad side.
Yeah.
I think that's so interesting that you pull that up because when we do see the bad side, we don't, a lot of times we don't know it's there, or we deny that it's there because we don't see it, right? Yeah. So when those instances do happen, it is actually a huge blessing to be able to understand those bad times and those bad things, and to have somebody that loves you authentically to be able to fix those things and work through those things. So I think I just wanted to highlight that. That's special. Thanks. That's special. That's awesome. So you met your husband, started a family. Mm-hmm. Then what?
So after Alora came, that's our daughter's name, changed my world.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was the rocket ship for me. She was the spark. Excuse me. She was the spark in my life there's a 30-minute marker. Did we pass it? Okay. She was a spark in my life to just, I need to do better. Yeah. I need to heal. And so I was actually working on my healing process, my healing journey for a bit beforehand. I actually got my health coaching license.
Okay. Okay.
To actually like really, really work on it.
That's awesome.
And I went hardcore. And with her and with that ignited everything else. I was like, okay, God, you made me for more. There's the next generation that I have to look forward to, and seven, maybe more, hundreds more that we are now responsible for. Mm. So that aspect changed everything. So I died again. I died again. I thought, okay, we'll have just like my husband and I for a bit. No. Baby's here.
Yeah, pivot again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's go time.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's when I picked up my camera. That's when he told me about Aloha Amplified and what to do. And I've been going since then.
And you've been going hard since then. That's incredible. And through that, and that's incredible. One of the things, like, I think it's so important just to highlight, just once again, we've already talked about it, but that through every new kind of stage in your life, there was a difficulty. Mm-hmm. And it's with those difficulties that you really understood what your calling. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but what your calling was. It's so interesting because as people grow, as I've grown, I've noticed that as well. You pivot towards the things that you want, and your life changes the way that you want it to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It could have been very easy for you in college just to continue down the filmmaking route, go get your master's, probably get a really good job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Still be able to move home if that's what you were called to do. You know, so like it still could have worked out, but not the way that it was supposed to work out. Yeah. If you wouldn't have followed that voice and that the spirit that you keep referring it as, none of those things would have happened. Hawkley, kind of just one question as we wrap up here. For those people that maybe have a hard time hearing that voice and understanding what that voice is, what would you say to them? What kind of guidance would you give them to tap into that?
Yeah.
That voice.
Yeah. So right now we're competing against AI, right?
Yeah.
This is going to all be connected.
Got it.
But what I like to call it is we need to cultivate Aloha intelligence, so AI versus AI. And how to do that is getting back to nature, detoxing from technologies, going into the ocean, dipping your feet into the water, getting your head under the water if you can, if you have access to the ocean. But if not, go into the forest, sit outside, just be present. Like in Hawaiian thought, we do something called kilo. So in the mornings when the sun is rising, we acknowledge the sun. And it scientifically, it's like you calibrate to the world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I believe that God's language is in nature. It's not in any of this man-made stuff. And we actually get lost in translation because we're ever consumed by all these different things all the time. So the tool that you can use is go out into nature. Mm. Go into silence.
Yeah.
Don't say shit.
Yeah. Just listen.
Just listen.
Yeah.
Just listen. And if that sounds hippy dippy to you, all right, that sounds hippy dippy to you now. But remember this, when you have that time of chaos and you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling the anxiety, it's just too much. Just release, surrender, quiet your mind. If you can't, sit down, go for a swim. because the ocean, the waves are very humbling when you're getting pounded under those waves. Go work out. I always recommend working out. When you can put your body under pressure, like a shit ton of pressure, that's all you can think about. And that's how you'll get closer to hearing, okay, what is it that you're trying to tell me? You know?
So it's interesting how you want to create things and how you want to, like, listen to that voice that's inside of you is actually pushing everything else away and just being yourself. There's this quote that stood out to me for a long time, and I think it's, you know, those quotes that stand out to you for the longest times are the ones that hit you in the chest. That was probably for me. There's this quote, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but the meaning, like the lesson behind it is, if you can't sit still, if you can't find time to find stillness, and even when you do make time to be still, even in that time, you're having a really hard time being still, your mind wanders, you feeling like so much angst to get back to work. This quote or whatever talked about, if you use your why or your work as a tool to, what am I trying to say? It's like almost like a tool to, it's almost like, you know those people that work really hard just to mask the problems and the stress that they have?
They're hiding behind it.
Right? They're hiding behind that heart. Like, dude, like, I got to work, hard. Mm-hmm. If you do that, then sitting still is going to be very stressful. Mm-hmm. It is going to be very hard because you've used hard work as almost like a drug to combat you sitting still for a minute. So I think it's important to understand that if that is you, be patient with yourself. And I love the other suggestion that you give, because it was so good, is go do something physical. Go swim, go get pounded by the waves, go to the gym, put your body under pressure, because when you do that, you do tap back into yourself, because it's almost like survival. You have to like be present and with yourself. So those are great suggestions, fantastic suggestions, and I couldn't agree more. If you're having a hard time tapping into your why or what it is that you're supposed to be doing here, get out in nature.
I think the last one is serve.
So good.
So if you're like, this is too slow, go and help somebody. Don't tell anybody that you're doing it. Just go
do something.
And if you can give to somebody expecting nothing in return, my dad always says this, then he knows he lived a good day. And he'd die happy just knowing that. So I fully believe that if you can give to somebody expecting nothing in return, you lived a good day.
I couldn't agree more. Hawakule, I appreciate so much your time this afternoon. Again, your hospitality has been just incredible, and so grateful to be able to sit down with you, to be the first guest. I'm just thrilled with how this went. As we wrap up, is there any last words that you wanted to say as we end?
You killed it.
No, you did. You did such a great job. For real, so grateful for you. For the listeners, if you could share, rate, and review, that'd be very, very appreciated. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks, Hawakule.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Multifamily Mindset Podcast. Think bigger.